afternoon, Key Point Church. Come on, where's my 12 o'clock service? Ah, I love this service. Thank y'all for coming to the service, because our 10:30 service cannot handle any more kids, all right? So we're so glad you're here, but welcome. We're in our 15th day of our 21-day season of prayer and fasting. We always kick off the year with 21 days where we get before God. We sacrifice a few meals. Hopefully you're doing that, and I would encourage you to do that. We've got 7 more days. So finish big. Maybe if you hadn't been able to fast, maybe push away lunch and take that time and go and pray, and maybe breakfast or whatever. But I know many of our staff members are fasting and praying. We're just believing God for miracles in 2020. Amen. And I want to teach you today on prayer. Often get asked, Pastor Casey, please help us how to pray. In fact, the disciples asked Jesus, how do we pray? Jesus, on multiple occasions, taught them how to pray. And what I want to do today is give you a guide, give you a pathway, because they work really well for me. And I believe the Holy Spirit gave me some insight to a pathway on how we can pray effectively. Amen. But let's pray before we get into the Word. Lord, we love you today. And Lord, we ask you to give us ears to hear what you want us to hear. Because Lord, we know you said when we pray, really, it's not an option. But Lord, we want to be able to pray with effectiveness and power. We want to be able to pray prayers that change lives. And God, we need you today. Every person in this room, we have situations that we're dealing with. We need breakthroughs. We need miracles. We need your hand. We need your power. We need only what you can bring to fix the things that we can't fix on our own. And God, I thank you that 2020 is going to be the best year ever. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Amen. I'm excited. All right. Now turn with me in your Bible. We're going to get there in a moment to Ecclesiastes. And if you are following along, hopefully you are, on our app, you can download it, whatever kind of phone you have, you can download our app. And on our app, the reason why I say this is because you can follow my message every Sunday morning. You can follow, and there's the main points. But today I added something extra. I actually, Rick put a little tab on there and it says view, if you know what I'm talking about. And you can click on it and you can have my entire notes of what I'm about to preach today, because I believe this is such a powerful and applicable message that you need to read the notes and listen to this message over and over again, and it can really, really help you. So I'm going to teach you how to pray. And I remember growing up in a South Louisiana family, and we were taught to pray. Not necessarily at church, but my mom and my grandmother, we had to pray. We had to pray over everything. My mama B. We called her Mama B because her first name was Beatrice. My grandmother didn't speak English till third grade. She is fluent in Cajun French, which is her first language. She's 90 years old, still living. I remember her saying, we got to say grace. We got to say grace, because we prayed over everything. We prayed over our food. We prayed when we went to sleep. And the prayer that I would recite was, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, come on, say it with me. I pray the Lord what? My soul to take. There you go. And I would pray that, you know, all the time. I prayed it right before I went to sleep. And then we prayed over our cats. We prayed over our dogs. We prayed over everything. In fact, even last week, we were praying Monday, right before the national championship. Amen? God must have heard our prayers. Yes, yes, he did. Come on now. Come on, somebody say, go Tigers. Yeah, thank you. But we prayed, and I began to realize early on in my Christianity that my prayers up to that point were routine. My prayer life was customary. In other words, I knew I needed to pray. And since I knew I needed to pray, I prayed because I had to. I wasn't praying because I wanted to. I was praying because my mom just said, oh, you better pray, boy. And of course, we all pray when we get in a jam. I mean, of course. Oh, we're all calling out to Jesus when the plane's going down, all right? Jesus, bail me out, all right? And my prayers lacked effectiveness. My prayers lacked the ability, like Jesus said, to move mountains. And I began to understand and learn early on in my Christianity what it meant to pray effectively. And there's a scripture in James chapter 5 and verse 16. And it says this about my prayers. It says, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And up to that point, my prayers weren't that effective. I'd sit in my chair and I'd try to pray, and my prayers became like a holy nap. Oh, yeah. Whew. At least I felt good about myself, you know. A little bit more guilt before, you know, a little bit more condemnation because I was supposed to pray, but I didn't. But my prayers were not fervent like James was talking about. My prayers were not effective. And he said that I can pray prayers that availeth much, right? And I wanted to pray prayers like that. So I began to study, well, how do I pray? And I believe the Holy Spirit began to teach me about praying. And Jesus said, when you pray, in Matthew chapter 6, when you pray, this is how you pray. And then he gave us the Lord's Prayer. That is a guide. You should study that. Go and Google the Lord's Prayer, how to pray through the Lord's Prayer. And today what I want to do is give you block prayer. I really believe the Holy Spirit gave me this, and I want to teach you how to pray through block prayer. Everybody say block.
Block.
Block prayer, all right? Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 11, it talks about our words. It says this. It says, the words of the wise prod us to live well. The words that come out of my mouth, the communication that comes out of my mouth, and you can also say the prayers that come out of my mouth, they prod to live as well. And my words and my prayers and my communication, they're like nails hammered home, holding my life together. That's what my prayer life can do, all right? So my prayers have the power in them to frame in the marriage that I want. According to this scripture, according to James chapter 5, if my prayers can be effective and they avail much, then you take it and put it with Ecclesiastes chapter 12, then that means my words, my prayers have the power to frame in the family that I want to have. My words have the power to frame in the financial situation that I want to walk in every day. My words, my prayers have the power to bring healing and make my mind and my spirit whole. All right, so my words have the power, ultimately, this is where it pays off. My words that leave my mouth, my prayers have the power to frame in the life that I want to live or the relationship that I want to have with my Heavenly Father. And it's all about communication, because you do know communication is the key asset in a relationship, right? You know, after you say I do to your spouse, there's got to be a little bit more communication than that, right? Come on, you know what I'm talking about? Communication is like engine to the oil or oil to the engine. You cannot go long with a car without oil. You will burn that bad boy up. It's like peanut butter and jelly. They go hand in hand. You cannot have one without the other. That's why it's so important to understand about the words that leave our mouth, the prayers that leave our mouth. So let's talk about this block prayer, because with every prayer that we're praying, we are building the life that we want to live, all right? And when we pray, it's not a time where we sit down and give God this list of all these things that we want. God, I need you to do this. God, I need you to do that. God, it'd be great by 12 o'clock today if you did this, you know. And I mean, we detail things out and you know, God, I need you to do this. It's not dumping our to-do list to God. But what I want us to do is to pray what God wants for us in our life. What does God want for us? He tells us. It's all the way through the Old Testament and it's all the way in the New Testament. It's His Word. And when we pray, and I know for me, when I sit in my recliner, I pray God's Word. So I'm going to teach you how to build your life from your recliner, all right? Come on, everybody say, yes, sir. Yeah. I'm going to teach you how to build your life from your recliner. Here's the first spiritual block, if you will, and it's spiritual, all right? Write this down or put it in your notes, all right? It's spiritual. We have the opportunity with our prayers to build our spiritual life. Now, you do know, and God's Word says that He wants you to be spiritually mature, right? Yeah, yeah. He wants you to be spiritually mature. And in other words, what God wants, the moment you say I do to Christianity or you get saved at the 12 o'clock service, He wants you to become more and more every day like Him and less like the person that you used to be before you said, God, today you are my Savior, okay? pre-Christianity. That is the ultimate goal. That's what spiritual maturity is. Now, if you ask 10 different people what spiritual maturity is, you will get 10 different answers. Well, I believe spiritual maturity is this. I believe spiritual maturity is that. Sometimes we judge people based upon our definition of spiritual maturity. And let me give you what mine is, all right? It's very simple. Spiritual maturity simply means that you are growing up. So ask yourself, am I growing up spiritually? Am I the same person that I was a year ago spiritually? Or 2 years ago? Or 3 years ago? Or 4 years ago? You think in terms of raising children, and we're either in that place or we have been. Our goal is to raise our children and see them mature, right? We don't want to have a 12th grader acting like a first grader anymore. Oh, son, it's time to mature. And we help them implement things in their life. You know, we brush our teeth every day, you know. People don't want to smell your bad breath. You know, oh, take the nunu out of your mouth. You're a senior. We don't suck noonies in the 12th grade. That's what we call, all right? Binkies or pacifiers, all right? No, baby. You can't bring your bottle to your first semester at college, all right? No. You can suck your bottle at home by yourself, but no, we want you to be mature, all right? I don't want a 21-year-old acting like a 1-year-old. Well, that's the same when it comes to spiritual maturity. I don't want a 40-year-old who's been saved. I got saved when I was 10 years old, 40 years ago. Well, I don't want a 40-year-old acting like a 1-year-old Christian. Because a lot of times, I'll ask people, well, how long have you been saved? When's your spiritual birthday? 27 years. And I told one guy, well, you've been living that same year over and over and over again because you hadn't grown one time. He kind of got mad at me, you know. But I would love for us to understand the power of spiritual maturity, and we grow through it. So this is how I pray. So I sit down in my lazy boy, my recliner. And I start thanking God. I start with, Lord, thank you. I am spiritually growing in you today. Thank you that you gave me an opportunity to be a Christ follower. Because if it had not been for you, I wouldn't be here today. Thank you, God. Lord, I want to grow. I want to be more and more like you. Because I don't like the person I used to be. I don't like that person. That's not the kind of father I want to be, or husband, or I want to grow. So, Lord, I thank you today. You're helping me. And I start saying things that I sense in my spirit. All right, Lord, I don't want to be an infant. Your word says in Ephesians, and you don't have to say Ephesians. I'm at a place now where I just say the actual scripture. I say whatever, however it comes in my heart. All right, Lord, I know you said in Ephesians that you don't want me to be spiritually immature, but you want me to grow up. And Lord, help me grow up today. So show me areas in my life where I need to spiritually mature. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. I just prayed that. Lord, I want to know the whole truth and tell it in love like Christ is everything. And again, you don't have to say Ephesians. I mean, if you're smart enough and can remember it, then go for it. You know, say it out, all right? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. God, you said, and Lord, hey, I want to be spiritually mature. Thank you for showing areas in my life. And then I go on and I say things like this. Lord, today I thank you. Maybe this is something I'm dealing with. Lord, I thank you today. I'm going to grow in my maturity in hearing your voice. Lord, I need to hear your voice about this certain situation. Lord, help me mature today in my ability to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and to be sensitive to what you're doing in this city, in this nation, in this world. Help me. Let me be spiritually aware of what's going on, God. Not just it's me and my little world. Lord, help me to be bigger than myself. You know. So I pray through whatever I feel in my heart. And I pray to God just like I'm speaking to you right now. He loves hearing me talk like that. And I'm just communicating my heart. Lord, I want to spiritually grow. Thank you. And what you need to do is you write down this particular block, Lord, spiritual, and you write the scriptures where you are today and what God is doing in your heart today. That's why it's so important to know or begin to study the Word of God and read the Word of God. So, Lord, I thank you today. I'm spiritually growing. Then the next block is relational. It's all about relationships. It's all about relationships. And I figured out a way to play Johnny Cash in church, all right? and promoting our life groups. We're about to launch into our spring 2020 life groups because we believe in the power of relationships. We believe that relationships matter. We believe that relationships or everything hinges on relationships, and we want to help you in your relationships, all right? So we believe, according to the Word of God, that He wants us to be relationally rich. And I have found out most people are relationally bankrupt. They're not rich. They run from relationships because of the past, and I get that. I get that. Anytime you take two people, imperfect people, and put them together, you're going to see some sparks. But the Lord intended for them to help us grow. So I see this relational block, and I start building my life according to what the Word of God is speaking to me about the relationships in my life. First, I thank you, Lord. I sit down, drink me a little coffee. And I start thanking God about the relationship that He gave me. Lord, I thank you that you sent your Son to die on the cross for me. Whew. Man, I was a loser, God. I know you know. Because you know all things. Man, I was so selfish and stupid. I did so many ungodly things. Thank you for convicting me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you that I gave you my heart. And I just thank God for it. I'm just thankful. Just thank you. Lord, now thank you for the relationship that you provided through Jesus, because there's no other way to God except through Jesus. Jesus, thank you for being willing to sacrifice your life on the cross for me. God, you gave your best. You didn't send a substitute. You sent your one and only Son. But just see the gratitude and the appreciation that is just developing in your heart as you thank God just about the first relationship that you have, the most important. Yeah. Then you go to your earthly, the horizontal relationships. The first one was your vertical. Jesus is the key and people are the point. That's why we named our church that, all right? Thank you, Lord, for the relationship with you, and thank you for the relationship I have with others. Because Pastor Casey said they are the point. So, Lord, I thank you for my spouse. I start with my wife. I start praying for my wife. Thank you for her. Thank you for allowing her to be inspired to finish her book by January 3rd. Come on, or February 3rd. Come on, Jesus. And I'm praying about that. And then I start saying scripture. Ephesians chapter 5 is the marriage chapter. Just write that down, all right? Husbands, write that down right now. Men, act like you're writing it down to impress your wife right now, all right? If you don't, you're on the couch tonight, all right? Ephesians chapter 5, Lord, I know your word says to submit yourselves to one another. And Lord, we're walking side by side as a husband and wife. We're in union under you, God. If it had not been for you, Lord, you would have not convinced Stacey to marry me. Lord, thank you that you do miracles, God. You know, I get funny with God, you know? Thank you for allowing her to still love me today and all my foolishness. But Lord, I pray over my wife. I thank you that her heart is submitted to you and my heart is submitted to her. And Lord, I know Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, it says, husbands, and Lord, I got to be honest with you, this is a hard one. Please hear me, God. You said to love our wives as Christ loved the church. What? Did you have to put that in there, God? Because you remember the whole Easter play, God? Your Son Jesus hung on the cross. You want me to do that for her? Lay down my life for her? Okay, well then if that's the case, then God, right now I need you to help me. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I'm selfish. And there's some times when I don't want to lay my life down for her. Come on, am I preaching good? Don't back out. Don't back away. Now stay engaged, all right? I'm just showing you how to pray through this block of relationships. And I pray over our relationship. Thank you, Lord, that we're in love with one another. Then I start praying for my kids. Lord, bless my kids today. I pray that they spiritually are in charge with you, that they are spiritually growing. My two adult children that live in Tulsa, let them be connected at Victory Church right there with Pastor Daughtry. Lord, thank you for the life that they have, the relationships in their life. Lord, thank you that they're saved. Thank you for Hudson. I say their names out loud, Lord. Let them be in love with you. Inspire him to be a Christ follower and to be fearful of God. Lord, let him love you all the days of his life. And then I start praying for my staff. You see how just this one block right here could take up 30 minutes. Lord, I pray for the people in my life that are very influential in me and Lord, in my life. Lord, I pray for those who need, Lord, my family members who need this and that. And I start praying for my friends. And Lord, thank you for the relationships that you have in my life. Thank you. Lord, I want to be relationally rich. Show me those areas in my life where I need to be relationally rich. Then we go to the third block, and it's the physical. It's the physical block. You do know God wants you to be healed, right? Yeah. Write this down. God wants you to be physically healed. Physically. We pray through this block. So I'll sit down in my chair, and there I am, and sometimes I'll have my phone with me, open up to my Bible app. Sometimes I don't. I like to keep it downstairs. I'll go up into the bonus room. We've got a recliner up there, and I'll sit in it and just kind of rock. Sometimes I put my legs up, and Lord, I thank you. I'm physically healed, Lord. And Lord, I start going through scripture. Lord, one of your names, and you have multiple names, God. One of them is Jehovah Rapha, Lord. So, Lord, today I thank you. I worship you. You're my healer. You physically can heal me. And, Lord, your word says that you are the Lord, in Exodus chapter 15, you are the Lord that heals people. Lord, it's not just what you do, but it's you're proclaiming who you are. And, Lord, right now I worship you. You are my healer. And, oh, by the way, God, you told me in Psalms 103, don't forget all your benefits. It's sad because a lot of Christians forget about the benefits that they have as a Christian. And Lord, I'm not today. I want all the benefits I can get. You wouldn't do that at work? Oh, I don't need 7 weeks of vacation. That's foolish. Just give me one little day. No, you'll take all the benefits you can and want even more from your, right? All right, well, God has benefits. And he says, forget not. Obviously, we were forgetting them, or he would not have had to say, forget not. All right? So, Lord, right now, I'm not going to forget. And Lord, your word says you'll forgive all my iniquities and you'll heal all my diseases. Amen. And those are three aspects right now. He wants to heal your body. He wants to heal your soul and your spirit. Lord, I'll take all three of them right now. And then we go New Testament. Lord, I thank you. Jesus went about. Your word says in Matthew chapter 8 that he went from town to town healing all who were sick. And then we take it to the next scripture. I mean, you can just get scripture after scripture after scripture. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus went about healing all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases among the people. And also, God, Hebrew chapter 13, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if you heal people in the Old Testament, and I'm telling you, I have said this multiple times because I hold God to his word. I hold God accountable to his word. And he loves it when I hold him accountable to his word because he is faithful. Because if he can't be accountable to his word, then that means he's a liar. And my God is not a liar, all right? You said you're faithful to them in the Old Testament. You healed. You healed people in the New Testament, which means you love me just as much. So you'll heal me today. And Lord, I thank you for healing. I just speak it over my life and my family, wherever we are. Physical healing. Then we go to the next block as we're praying. And this is the mental block. Oh, I could sit here for hours. Whoo, my goodness. Let us get to a place as Christians and understand the power of mental wholeness. God wants us to be mentally whole. He wants us to, not to ignore it, but there's scripture in the Old Testament, the New Testament, that talk about mentally being whole. I want to be mentally whole. And I know the battle that I face as a father, as a husband, as a pastor, is not out there. The battle is right here between my ears. It's in my mind. So what I do, I sit down and I say, all right, God, today I'm going to battle because I know the battle is in my mind. And Lord, you have given me divine power to demolish and be victorious in these battles, because your word says in 2 Corinthians, look at it. It says that weapons that I fight with are not the weapons of this world. And I like to personalize the scripture, all right? On the contrary, I have divine power. Lord, I've got ability that goes beyond my human nature, that comes down from heaven, that helps me demolish strongholds. You know what a stronghold is? A stronghold is something that I constantly struggle with that kicks my butt every day. And Jesus did not come suffer the cross so that I could just continue to struggle with the same thing. He wants me to mature and be more and more like him. So, Lord, today I have the power, because you want to give it to me, to divine this stronghold in my life. And I speak it, and I'll call those things that are not as though they are. And then it goes on to say, and we demolish arguments. Verse 5, Lord, your word says in 2 Corinthians that I have the divine power to demolish arguments. An argument is a lie or someone's opinion about you. And most of the time, it's a lie or not the truth. And we accept it as truth. You're not good enough. You're too short. You're too tall. You don't have the right color, or you're too this, or you're too that. You're this, or you're too that. And Lord, so today, Lord, I thank you in my mind. I'm not going to believe those arguments or those lies. Thank you, Lord, for the divine power to have a mind that is whole. I have a sound mind. I don't have to worry what they think or what she says or when I read that Instagram post or that Facebook post and it causes me. No. The battle is right here. And Lord, I thank you. I have the divine power to demolish that argument. And then it says, I can demolish every pretension. Now check this out. This is where it gets really interesting. A pretension is anything that sets itself up contrary to the word of God. It could be opinion or someone's thought. Come on now. So before you start saying what your opinion is, make sure it's the word of God first, all right? Because a lot of people have taken opinion and have allowed it to become a foundation in their life, and it is extremely unbiblical. God can't bless that mindset and that opinion, all right? So, Lord, today, if I have any opinions that have been formed against people or people groups or the government or this world that I live in today that is contrary to your word, please help me understand that because I want to demolish that. I don't want to live my life under false teaching or false opinion. All right? So we talk about that. Lord, I thank you. I have mental wholeness. Lord, I thank you. And I'm just working with the Holy Spirit every day, just praying. And I may see a scripture or hear a scripture at church or read something. And man, I add that to my prayer list when it comes to being mentally whole. And then we go to the fifth block, and it's all about emotional. It is the block of emotional stability. God wants you to be emotionally stable. Whoo, man. Man, our emotions can be up one moment, read the newspaper, read an article online, and the next moment it be down. Open up an email, we're high, next moment, read another email and be down. Just emotionally unstable. Angry one day, sad the next day. Happy one day, mad the next day. Excited one day, depressed the next day. God did not, once again, send Jesus down the cross so that we could be emotionally unstable. Now, there may be some days where I'm having a hard time and I feel I'm fighting depression or anger. But you know what? If you looked at my curves, I'm getting better and better and better with my emotions in my life. Before I got saved, I was extremely insecure. I was so insecure, I promise you, if I was in a room of 10 people, I was convinced all 9 of them were talking about me. What's wrong with me? I'm not good enough. And it all stemmed back to a few moments in my early development when I was going and growing up in life. That's why if you have a young teenager in your home, 6th, 7th, or 8th grade, you better be speaking the word of God over him or her, because I'm telling you, the world is trying to tell them something contrary, all right? And it was during those moments where I developed insecurity. Now, I had a strong family life. I had a mother and father who were there for me, but I physically didn't mature till later on in life. And when I was in the 9th grade, I literally looked like a 5th grader, all right? And I knew it. I'd look at my friends, and they were like up here, and then I'd look at me, and I was a little midget, all right? Like, what's wrong with me? It looked like I shaved my legs, and it wasn't popular then to shave legs for men, all right? Wasn't popular. And there was a boy by the name of Wade Kahn in 9th grade. I remember like it was yesterday. And in front of all the PE class, this was back in the mid-80s, you wore those real high, tight, gross, perverted-looking shorts. And I tried to get the long ones because I wanted to cover up my legs. And he said, "Hey, Casey, you shave your legs? Ha, 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 look, Casey shaves his legs." Yeah, laugh at me now. But I got the last laugh when God healed me of that emotional scar. And for years, I carried an emotional scar of insecurity. And I gave my heart to Christ at 19 and 20 years old. And I began to learn how to effectively pray. And when I would sit down and pray, the Lord would bring up these times. And I wanted to cover them up. I wanted to act as if they were there. But I began to realize if I didn't take them out and deal with them and allow the Holy Spirit to heal me, then I was not going to be the man that God called me to be. Because I'd filter everything through insecurity. And I have seen so many Christians just bury their past. Well, I just don't want to think about it. It brings up fear. It just makes me depressed. No, honey, bring that thing. Be confident about it that God is going to bring healing in your life. And you take those moments and you pray. Lord, your word says in Luke chapter 4 that your son was sent to heal up the brokenhearted. That means that there was something that happened in your life that caused an emotional scar. And they're going to happen again. There's been times where someone who I trusted did something to me, and it caused an emotional scar. And I'd get before the Lord, and I'd pray in the Holy Spirit, and he would convict me of emotional junk, anger and bitterness and lust and pride. And he said, no, that's going to slow you down. That's going to bog you down. No, you got to get rid of that. So, Lord, I repent. Lord, change me. Forgive me for holding this emotional junk inside of me. We'll deal with them later. That's up to you. But, Lord, as long as it's up to me, I want to be emotionally stable. I want to be emotionally stable. And you were sent, Jesus, you were sent to bring liberty. That word liberty in the Greek means freedom to all those who are oppressed. And that word oppressed means broken, crushed, or shattered. You see how powerful this is? This is to everybody. We've all been through something where we were shattered, where we were broken, where our spirit and our emotions were crushed. He's very concerned about that. So, Lord, I take my time, and I think you're gonna bring healing in my heart. You're going to bring healing in my life, in my emotions. Thank you, Lord. You want me emotionally stable. Then I drink me some coffee, and I go and get the next block. And I know some of you are going to be like, oh, here we go again. But this one is extremely important because, there we go. As a pastor, I deal with this one more than anything else. The number one issue in marriages today that cause marital discontentment and problems is the financial. It's how to deal with finances. It's not the lack of, it's what do we do with it? Of course, the lack and all that. But it's all about this. And I want the Hennigans to be financially secure. You do know that, right? And it would be sad for me not to teach that as your pastor, that God wants you to be financially secure. Now, we're going to be balanced. You know our heart here. We're balanced. This is all about a heart issue. So I sit before God, and once again, it's a heart issue because we're prone to be greedy. We're prone to take and not give. But God so loved the world that he gave, and to be like God, I want to be generous. So God, deal with my greedy heart, because I want to reflect your word. I want to do what you've called us to do, and I want the Hennigans to be financially secure. And so I start praying through the scripture. Lord, your word says, Lord, in Malachi chapter 3, that if I were to return the tithe, which is 10%, so Lord, I bring you 10%, and I go with the gross, because I'd rather give more than not give enough, you know. Am I going to get in trouble? Absolutely not. So, Lord, your word says it. Come on, don't back away, all right? Y'all hang with me, all right? This will change your life. So, Lord, I thank you that we are financially secure because I trust you at your word. Lord, it's all yours anyway. So continue dealing with my greedy heart. I want to be generous. I want you to be able to know that. So, Lord, I'm going to give it to you first. I'm going to bring the whole tithe to the storehouse. And, Lord, you know, the storehouse is the church. It's the New Testament church. So, I'm going to return it to where I get fed. And, Lord, I thank you that I am being fed. Thank you for my pastor. And you just keep praying. And, Lord, it's the only place in the Bible where you said to test you. So, Lord, I test you. So, I return the first. I give you the best, God. I give it to you. And I thank you, Lord, because of that, according to your scripture, you're going to bless the rest. You're going to bless the rest. And Lord, I thank you. Your word says you'll throw open the floodgates of heaven, and you'll bless me so much that I can't contain it. So come on, God. Lord, I thank you for that can't contain it miracle in Jesus' name. Now, my heart is not to get more from God so I can be greedy about it, because he gives me more because he knows he can trust me with more. So Lord, let me be a faithful steward. Jesus talked about that. You know, Jesus talked more about finances in the scripture than prayer and baptism and the blood, than two or three times more than he did about all those things, because he knew the power of it. Because at the end of the day, it's his. So God, I thank you. It's all yours. Lord, I give it to you. Thank you for blessing the rest. And I can't tell you how many blessings have come to the Hennigans because of that. And sometimes they're not even monetary blessings. They're just things that just don't break down. And that's what scripture says. If you keep reading in verse 11, he'll prevent your crops from being destroyed. Man, I pray that over my family. Lord, let my children be blessed. Lord, your word says that we can be givers. Lord, your word says we can be the head. Lord, your word says this and your word says that about it. And Lord, I thank you. We are financially secure. I don't have to wonder if I'm going to pay my light bill this month. You know, we actually do that same principle here at Key Point Church. Every dime that you tithe here at Key Point Church, our accountant every Monday writes a 10% check and it goes into a missions account. So we actually tithe on what you tithe here at Key Point Church. That's why you never feel pressure here. If you ever feel pressure, then you don't give, all right? Don't you give, because the scripture says not to do it that way. We're just going to teach the principle because I'm telling you it's life-changing. You talk to anyone who tithes, and they'll want it no other way. And then you take Joshua chapter 24. You're praying, you're about to conclude your prayer, you're about to go downstairs and get you some breakfast or a protein bar. And all you who are wondering if it's level, let's see here, all right, there we go, right there, there we go. And you say this, Joshua chapter 24, verse 17, Lord, ask for me in my house, ask for me. Thank you, Lord, for touching me today. Thank you, Lord, I'm blessed spiritually. Thank you, Lord, I have relational wealth, Lord, I thank you, I'm physically healed. Lord, I thank you, Lord, my mental psyche is right. And if it's not right, then you stay there until it's right, all right? And Lord, I thank you, I'm emotionally stable today. I can handle anything that comes my way. And Lord, today I thank you, we are financially secure. As for me and my family and my house, we are gonna serve you, amen? I'm gonna serve you. Now, what if I pray about this and it doesn't happen? It's happened. What if I pray for this and it doesn't happen? It happens. What if I'm still dealing with emotional instability and I'm not mentally whole? Oh, we get it. We're all there. Let me tell you what you need to do. You need to keep stacking prayer blocks. Keep stacking prayer blocks. The effective, fervent prayers of a righteous person avails much. Keep stacking your prayers. Prayers that persevere always prevail. They always prevail. Keep praying, ma'am. Keep praying, sir. Keep praying. Keep stacking these prayers. Often I wonder, God, do you ever remember all my prayers? Sometimes I sense something that happens like, oh, man, that's a breakthrough. And I prayed for that thing like 8 years ago. I forgot it, but he never forgets a prayer. Never. Keep stacking prayers. We're going to pray through these blocks. Again, download the app, Key Point Church app, and get this message. There may be a few grammatical errors, all right, but you understand my heart. I want you to get this. This is powerful. I want Key Point Church to be filled with a group of people who are maturing, who are relationally rich, who are physically walking towards healing, mentally whole, emotionally stable, financially secure. Man, what would that say to the rest of the world looking out? I'm going to tell you what it would say. They're going to be like, how can I get in there? How can I be a part of it? That's why we say welcome home. Come on. Come and be a part. You probably is with me as we close this afternoon. I believe there's a few of you in here that will say, Pastor Casey, I'm not relationally where I need to be with the Lord. My heart is far from God. Well, you're in a great place today because we believe in the power of salvation. Jesus Christ came to set you free. The first place of freedom is in your heart. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We're going to pray a very simple prayer of salvation. So repeat this after me out loud. Say, Jesus Christ. Come on, say, Jesus Christ. I ask you to save me. I repent of my sins. I call you my Lord. I call you my Savior. Thank you for the work of the cross. God, thank you for giving your best and allowing me to have a relationship with you.